Hey, it's NPR's Book of the Day. I'm Andrew Limbong. The book we're talking about on the podcast today is just the latest in a long literary tradition of books written while being imprisoned. It's Patriot by Alexei Navalny, the Russian opposition leader who died earlier this year. His book is a memoir detailing his youth, leading his movement against Vladimir Putin and through his imprisonment. His widow, Yulia Navalnaya, spoke with NPR's Ari Shapiro, and we're going to spend the entire episode on this conversation because I think it's important to hear how she says the real Alexei Navalny is in these pages, how he showed real strength in the face of adversity, but also how he was kind of a funny goof. That's coming up.
The Russian opposition leader, Alexei Navalny, wrote, "If they do finally whack me, the book will be my memorial." The book is a new memoir called Patriot. Navalny died in a Siberian prison this past February. His wife, Yulia Navalnaya, now leads the movement her husband started fighting Russian President Vladimir Putin's grip on power. And she's with us to talk about her late husband's book. Yulia Navalnaya, welcome to All Things Considered.
Hello, Ari. Thank you for having me.
We are happy to have you here. This memoir begins with a scene of Alexei on a plane, realizing that he has been poisoned with a nerve agent. And he had a long recovery in Germany. You were by his side. And then he made what might have been the most pivotal decision of his life. He returned to Russia, where he was arrested at the border and imprisoned until his death. How do you think about that decision he made to return to his country?
I understand that from other side, it looks like strange decision, but I knew my husband for many years. I lived with him for many years, and I knew him very well. I knew that he would never do another decision. He wanted to be in Russia. He wanted to be with Russian people and with his Russian supporters. It was very important for him to come back and to show that he doesn't afraid, that he wants to continue his fight despite they poisoned him or not.
I think many people will be surprised at how much his sense of humor comes through in this book, even in his very darkest moments. What do you think was the secret to his positivity?
I think that it was a kind of his superpower. And if I would know the secret, unfortunately, nobody knows. That's why he was so popular. That's why people love him. That's why he had so many supporters. From one side, he was leader of Russian opposition. He was serious politician. And you, of course, expect from serious politician that, like, you know, the man in suit with tie and
right.
So on. Of course, he wears sometimes a suit and tie, but still he was and he wanted to be the ordinary guy from the next door house, and he was really funny. And it's not about the book. It's about all our life. Spent him with him more than 25 years, and all the time he was very funny, and he was very easy, and he laughed a lot during very difficult moments in our life, and it helped a lot, and it gave a lot of strength.
He talks about watching Rick and Morty, the animated show, on airplane flights while he's campaigning and in this intense pressure cooker, even as he was being poisoned with a nerve agent. He was in the middle of an episode.
He was. And he loved Rick and Morty a lot. And as you remember, he writes in his book that it was a special episode which he liked a lot about small cucumber. Or something like this. I'm a little bit sorry. I'm sorry about it because I really, to say the truth, never watched probably a couple times with him, Rick and Morty. So I'm not just, you know, I don't know a lot of details.
Mm-hmm. The first half of the book is a traditional memoir, and the second half is a prison diary. Mm-hmm. As you read those pages that he wrote while he was in prison. What surprised you?
First of all, I knew about conditions in torturing conditions in which he was in prison, of course, during he was alive. Because still it was very difficult, but we were able to exchange letters. That's why I knew much more. Nothing surprised me, because in these diaries, you can know really my husband, Alexei Navalny. It saw him, and from one side, we can read about awful things which happened with him in prison, like hunger strike and all these torturing things. But from the other side, even during these days, he was very strong, but not just seriously strong. He laughed at his prison guards. He laughed at the situation. He laughed at himself. And it was his special thing about him, and it was his special power, and I think that it helped him a lot in his life.
He describes a moment during your first extended visit to him in prison where he says to you, "I don't want to sound dramatic, but I think there's a high probability I'll never get out of here. Even if everything starts falling apart," he says, "they will bump me off at the first sign the regime is collapsing." What do you remember about that conversation?
I remember a very long corridor, and we were walking one side and back along this corridor. And I remember this conversation, and I wanted to be supportive at this moment. I wanted, as I told, we lived so many years together, so I knew him very well, and I didn't want, you know, to be sad or to show him how scared I am with this situation. And that's why I wanted to be supportive. And also, I knew that in a couple of days, I will be a free person. And he will stay in prison. That's why, despite he was very good, a strong shoulder for me all our life, but still it was very important at that moment that I need to be his shoulder.
There was nearly an agreement to free your husband in a prisoner swap. Do you allow yourself to think about how your life would be different today if that had gone through before he died?
I like the way you asked me this question. That's very good words. Because I probably a little bit afraid to give these feelings come to me, and it could be very difficult to come back from all the thoughts. That's why I really never allowed myself. But still, I want to say that I'm very happy that this prisoner swap happened, and that innocent people who were fighting against Vladimir Putin's regime are freed.
After Alexei Navalny died, his widow, Yulia Navalnaya, put out this video.
Я прошу вас разделить со мной ярость. Ярость, злость, ненависть к тем,
and in doing so, she sort of took up the mantle as leader of the Russian opposition movement. So, NPR's Ari Shapiro asked how she felt about this new role of hers.
I would prefer to be called first lady of opposition, or even more, the wife of Alexei Navalny. And I felt myself very comfortable and very pleasant in this role. I would prefer it never changed. Don't know. It's difficult for me to answer you still if I feel comfortable or not. It's about that you feel that it's important to do this. So I'm just doing what I believe, and I am doing what I think right.
Can you specify whether you were doing it for him or for your internal moral compass or for your country, or what your motivation is for taking this on?
For all these reasons, first of all, for my country, second, for my children, and of course for memory of my husband as well.
He describes your views as being more radical than his. Do you agree?
Stop it, stop it. Everybody's asking this question.
Really?
yeah. It's like the most common question.
He's the one who wrote it. Blame your late husband.
Right. I blamed him in it while he was alive, to say the truth. Because it's not just written in the book. He told it several times before. I don't know. I don't understand what he meant. And I think that I was more radical because I discussed politics with him in the kitchen and it was much easier than as we discussed.
You say things in the kitchen that you might not say in a public speech, huh?
Yeah. You know, as you asked me, my role has changed. So I don't think now I'm so radical as I was.
You have
before.
To be more diplomatic now. Is that what you're saying?
Absolutely. Of course.
Tell me about what the goal of the movement is right now, because things in Russia have changed. Any dissent is immediately crushed. When any public demonstrations take place, they are met with imprisonment. So how do you even continue the work, especially from outside of the country?
You're right. It's very difficult. And you're absolutely right, mentioned that everybody could be in prison for anything, like for the like in social media or just post in social media. Our organization is doing a lot to bring independent information to people in Russia. We have several very big YouTube channels, and we are meeting with head of states and discuss with them the current situation in Russia. There are still a lot of people in Russia who are against the war, who are against Putin's regime, and they still need a kind of support in any ways. They are living under dictatorship. They understand that they could be imprisoned for anything, any moment. And of course, we need to motivate them and to help in any way we can.
The last question I'd love to ask you. This book includes a collection of photographs, and there is Alexei giving speeches and marching in the streets and debating other politicians. But I want to ask you about one joyous photograph that shows you and him and your two children jumping off the top of a sand dune. Was there ever a scenario where the four of you could have had just a simple life more like that, not about a higher purpose or a struggle against a great power, just focused on fun times with your family?
In my dreams, I, of course, thought that we will be retired, sitting around our grandchildren, but life has taken another path. And I know why it happened. I just knew my husband. He was the person who wanted to fight till his last day, and it was very important for him.
Yulia Navalnaya, thank you so much for talking with us.
Thank you so much.
Her late husband, Alexei Navalny's memoir is called Patriot.
That's it for this week on NPR's Book of the Day. Let us know what you think. You can write to us at bookoftheday@npr.org. I'm Andrew Limbong. The podcast is produced by Danica Panetta and Chloe Weiner and edited by Megan Sullivan and Sierra Crawford. Our founding editor is Petra Mayer. The show elements for this week were produced and edited by Ed McNulty, Fernando Naroman, Mark Rivers, Ashley Brown, Amy Gotamagawa, Mark Navin, Ryan Bank, Matthew Sherman, Michael Levitt, and Courtney Dornan. Beth Donovan is our managing editor. Thanks for listening.